This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's time. Time for your weekly appointment with the only man who could host a four-hour Saturday tour de force of sports talk on CBS Sports Radio. Why? Why did we select this man to undertake this Herculean task? Because, well, his name is on the marquee. Here he is, Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments, and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. We're talking in real time. I still want to get to Dak Prescott and his situation from this week. No one seems to be able to agree on his quality as a quarterback. The prospects of a college football season, and then, of course, the latest from the NBA bubble. And that hotline, that's been a little bit of a topic of conversation. Would you call the hotline if you were involved down there or you saw something going on down there? It's been dubbed a snitch hotline. I don't think that's really fair because it demonizes it. I mean, like, those guys have a shared responsibility to keep that league going, to keep everybody healthy, and to have the NBA prosper as a whole. So I wouldn't call it a snitch line myself. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Let's go to Richard in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Richard, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Richard?
Good morning, Robin. I love your show, and I appreciate you because it's your show, and what topic you want to bring up, you bring up, and people don't like it, let them go watch YouTube or something, you know?
they always wind up calling in or saying something to me online, so somehow they hate it so much, but they're actively consuming and engaging with it, so there you go.
Absolutely. I've been a Washington fan for 50 years. I lived up in Alexandria for 60, right outside of D.C. I remember Washington, the good old days. You couldn't get a ticket to go to a game. The last couple years, you look, there's empty seats and all. I feel sorry for those 15 ladies. What happened to them? If you're an owner, and to me, Snyder's not an owner. He just wants to party and drink and count his money. The two best things that Snyder has done since he owned the team was fire Allen and hire Ron Rivera. I mean, there's been no organization, no nothing. I mean, I'm sick of it. If you're not, and as far as being an owner, I don't care what you say. I don't care how much you party. You've got to know what's going on in the organization. Me personally, I'm sure the NFL is going to be fair, but if they force Snyder to sell, it'd be the best thing that could happen to the Washington team to get organization and get that franchise back to being winners the way they were. And my last thing, I'll let you go, I love your show, is I can imagine, and I had a chance to meet him, was Joe Gibbs, and talk to him. I can imagine what Joe Gibbs thought when he heard this come out about Washington. Thank you for taking my call, Robin. Listen to you every chance I get.
Thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. You know, Joe Gibbs is like a hero around those parts. But I want to go back to Ron Rivera for a second, because he was put in a tough situation, and he's already been out in front about it. I mean, Ron Rivera put out a statement. Biggest thing is that we have to move forward from this and make sure everybody understands we have policies that we will follow, and then we have an open-door policy with no retribution. Plus, my daughter works for the team, and I sure as hell am not going to allow any of this. He went on, Dan Snyder brought me here to change culture and create an environment of inclusion among employees. I believe everyone that works for this franchise has a vested interest in our success. Ron Rivera should not be the spokesman for this Washington football team. Again, he just got there. Ron Rivera has nothing to do with anything that took place before. And Ron Rivera, you know, shows a level of fortitude to go out there and say that stuff out front and put his name to it when Daniel Snyder is only putting statements out, right? Like on letterhead. You know, Daniel Snyder should really be in front of microphones. Daniel Snyder should be in front of cameras. Daniel Snyder should not just be, this shouldn't just be happening, you know, with him not having to speak toward and pass the buck to Ron Rivera. Because again, none of this is Ron Rivera's doing. But Ron Rivera has showed a level of conviction, if you will, in the way he's handled it, but it's not fair to Ron Rivera, nor does it have anything to do with Ron Rivera. I mean, the future of the team, at least from a performance standpoint, has to do with Ron Rivera, but even in general, like, most coaches are not completely associated with the organization or tied into the fabric of the organization. Coaches come and go. There's a few throughout the league who have been a part of a franchise for a long, long time. And obviously, Ron Rivera is used to that in Carolina because he was there for a long, long time. But in general, there's no reason for Ron Rivera to be the spokesperson for Washington right now. Daniel Snyder's kind of hiding behind him. And I don't blame Ron Rivera. I'm not criticizing Ron Rivera because he's just trying to do what he thinks is right, and he has the courage to be the face of this. But there's no reason for Ron Rivera to be the face of this in any way, shape, or form. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. How about Kevin in Marlboro, Maryland? Kevin, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. Kevin from Upper Marlboro, Maryland.
I'm aware of Upper Marlboro, man. I don't know if you know, but I lived in Lusby, Maryland from 12 until I went to school. I went to University of Maryland in College Park.
My parents are
in Silver Spring. My wife's parents are in Germantown. And I believe my high school graduation was at one of the arenas there in Upper Marlboro. So.
Okay, yeah, the Equestrian Center.
That was where I graduated, the Equestrian Center in Upper Marlboro, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, at the risk of sounding cliche, I'll say this. First-time listener, first-time caller, so thanks for taking my call, and it's a really good show.
Thank you.
At the risk of taking the unpopular decision, especially, I have a 25-year-old daughter who was a waitress at FedEx Field in the suites. I have to ask this question. Reading the text messages between the executives of the organization and the female managers who are the complainants right now in the sexual harassment allegation against them, shouldn't there be some culpability? I mean, just based on the text messages and the responses by these alleged victims, shouldn't there be some culpability assigned to them as well? And I say that because the one text message that I read where the Dennis Green had said, hey, if I come over there and if I squeeze your butt, I'll give you this Jimmy John's. And she said, no, you can't, but hey, I am hungry. So as a father of two daughters, that response to me seems inappropriate, because I think that the initial response or the appropriate response should be, that's inappropriate for you to say that. Don't call me. Don't text me any longer. But to entertain that, in a way, I think that encourages that, I guess, aberrant behavior. So shouldn't there be some culpability assigned to those women who are complaining about sexual harassment? That's my question.
First of all, I don't like the word culpability in this context. Let's unpack it a little bit. There are 15 women in the Washington Post story, right? So each woman should be treated individually, like I say, treat all these cases individually, and the merits of their complaint, their experience should all be individually. The reason 15 is brought up as a number is because when you have 15 people willing to tell you something happened, it's hard to dismiss that report, right? And then if there are 15 women who say it, there's likely even more. The rumors that have come out of that organization for a while, and then the cheerleading scandal that I referenced in 2013. Again, I will say this to you, Kevin. If you had just said to me the proper response is that's inappropriate, you are correct, right? But there was no, according to the story, there was no reporting mechanism in place, so there was no place for these women to go to complain. And I would also say, you know, in a lot of these cases, you're talking about someone in an environment where they're worried or concerned about their job, or they're worried or concerned about how a certain reaction may be received, and could it be looked upon them as the wrong way for their career. You're also dealing in some cases with young women who may not know the difference in how a workplace should conduct itself, and found out later, oh yeah, what I was involved in was not on the up and up. So I really don't like
even
using the word culpability.
Even in today's times, especially with,
well, we're going back questions. We're going back 15 years here. I mean, these allegations span over nearly 15 years.
Okay. All right. That's a good point. All right. Well, hey, good show. And I received a response. I'll keep listening, but thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You got it. Look, again, that's why I the word culpability, I'm not comfortable with in any nature when it comes to these women. If you want to say, here's what I think is the appropriate response, okay. But you also have to factor in the context here. And you also have to treat each of the women like the individuals they deserve to be treated as. Courtney in Atlanta. Courtney, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Yeah, like I was saying, Washington is Washington. You know, you got a lot of teams with the names Indians. I love the Braves with Braves, you know, the Chiefs and Washington. I mean, if you're going to change one, I mean, what about the others? And another thing I'm
Hold on. Let's treat that. Let's tackle that before you get to the other point. There is a difference. Look, there are some people who are making the argument that no mascot should be a group of people or representative of a group of human beings, right? Which I get. And the Indians sort of put their hands in the air and said, hey, we're volunteering to change it. But there is a difference. You know, we have to treat things with context and detail and nuance. There is a difference between Braves and Chiefs and Redskins. You know, those things are not the same, though they may relate to the same culture and people in this country. Just on their face, the term is not the same. There's a reason the Washington team name is the one that people went for first and hardest.
Okay. I get what you're saying on that. Now, I know I'm saying change is needed. You know, definitely change is needed in the world, just not in the NFL. But, you know, I understand the need to change things and make people feel a little bit better about, you know, wanting to come and watch a team play. It's not actually the player's fault that they would name that, but I understand the reason why it needs to be changed. One thing I got to ask you is this, though. Okay. Everybody's talking about the owners and everything that's going on with their legal issues and all this stuff that's going on and everything. But I feel like this. Everybody has their problems. They go through things. They handle things the way they handle them. Sometimes they handle them the wrong way and they get caught. I feel like they should just let it be as it is. Let the organization handle it the way it needs to handle it. And when it comes out, the outcome will be the outcome. Why worry about things that, one, you can't control?
Well, the organization, I mean, here's the problem with the organization and handling it the way the organization's handling it. The person who stands the most to lose is the one ultimately in charge of the organization.
No, I mean the NFL organization. I'm not talking about the owners. I'm talking the NFL. You know, let the NFL handle it. They'll handle it the way they handle it. I know a lot of times it's not fair. There's a lot of things that happen that wasn't right. But at the same time, like the situation with the Houston Astros, I understand that. But, you know, you let the organization handle it. The outcome would be the outcome. There's nothing you can do about it. Just listen, see what happens. And if they do right, they do right. If they don't, then it is what it is. You feel me?
Sure. But I already said that I think that the I will wait for the investigation. One thing that's a little odd about the investigation is that they are entrusting the counsel that was hired by Dan Snyder. However, you know, we're talking about a story in real time that happened. I mean, we can't just like, you know, that's the topic matter. That's what we're discussing. And again, I've said, you know, in issues like this, I want to be fair to everybody, whether it's somebody I like, dislike, or in between, whenever there are allegations of this magnitude and this severity and they are of, you know, they're reported and not, you know, just something that somebody said that we heard them say or they did on camera, right? I'll wait for all the information to come out before I render my ultimate judgment. However, in this case, clearly there is enough reporting here to indicate that there was an issue within the Washington organization, especially when coupled with the cheerleading scandal in 2013, where it has become an NFL problem. And how the NFL deals with Daniel Snyder will be watched by many. And plenty have already said they need to get rid of him, and he needs to be forced to sell the team. Again, I'll wait till I have all the information before I say anything quite as definitive as that. But Daniel Snyder is, you know, he's at the center of this. And there is a reason the NFL has already put out a statement about it, because they know that Daniel Snyder has created a problem. Or I don't want to say he's created. He is a problem for them. And I don't want to make it all about Daniel Snyder either, because there are a bunch of individuals, like I said, involved here, and their complaints, their what they say they experienced should not be dismissed solely through, you know, what happens to Daniel Snyder either. 855-212-4227. All right, let's move to another topic, more of a football topic. A regular football topic within that same division, and that's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, who is oddly polarizing. You know, Dak Prescott, I don't know if he is polarizing because of the team he plays for, but no one seems to be able to agree on the quality of Dak Prescott. How good is Dak Prescott? How would you describe Dak Prescott as a quarterback? No one can agree. You know, he certainly talked about like a star. I don't know if that's because of his ability or what's on the side of his helmet, but he's talked about like a star. But I hear people say, you know, all sorts of different things when it comes to Dak Prescott. What word or what couple words, how would you describe Dak Prescott as a quarterback? 855-212-4227. We'll get to his situation with the Dallas Cowboys coming up next. It is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio.
How good is Dak Prescott? 855-212-4227. It's the question no one seems to be able to answer. A question without a proper response. Because every response I see is different. No one seems to be able to agree on how good Dak Prescott is. Not even the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, you know, contract negotiations are more complicated than that. Clearly, they were willing to pay him a lot of money, guarantee him a lot of money. There was an argument over the length of the contract and other details. However, if you truly, truly believed in him as a generational quarterback, that probably wouldn't stop you from signing him, right? I mean, look, Dak Prescott's not Patrick Mahomes. Let's be clear about that, right? Everybody can agree on that. And Patrick Mahomes' deal is going to be different because Patrick Mahomes is different. But some of the other deals that have been signed in recent times, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, I mean, I would say that Dak Prescott is clearly better than Jared Goff on the same level as Carson Wentz. That's arguable. People argue that all the time. But no one seems to be able to like say, all right, this is where Dak Prescott is. To me, I would say Dak Prescott is very good. That's about the terminology I think I would use. Very good. Not great. Not transcendent. but certainly not average either, or not, you know, a bum like I even hear people say, or propped up only by the offensive line. Dak Prescott has an excellent record, and look, that's a team thing, but he has an excellent record since taking over as starter of the Dallas Cowboys. In fact, we know last year was disappointing for them, but people are now taking that and extrapolating that over his entire career, when that's the worst season he's presided over is 8-8, 40-24 as a starter. Completed 66% of his passes, nearly three times as many touchdowns as he has interceptions. And he's tough. I remember that playoff game against Seattle when he ran for that first down. I think Dak Prescott is a quarterback capable of winning a Super Bowl for you. But nobody seems to be able to agree on his quality level. You know, I think I was talking about Madden ratings earlier in the show. Madden gave him an 84. I would probably go with like an 86, somewhere between a B and a B plus, but that's semantics, right? And you know, finding a quarterback of that caliber isn't that easy. Ask Jets fans, ask Browns fans. I mean, the Jets have been looking for a quarterback since man landed on the moon. We'll see how Sam Darnold works out. Same for Baker Mayfield and the Browns. But not being Patrick Mahomes is hardly an indictment. So I'm surprised, to be honest, that the Cowboys and Dak Prescott weren't able to come to a deal. I suppose one way you could describe Dak as a franchise quarterback, because that's the tag he will be playing under, certainly when it comes to this year. How would you describe Dak Prescott? 855-212-4227. Let's go to Buck in Chicago. Buck, you're up next here on the Robin Lundberg Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Buck?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, listen, I don't think if enough people know, or if enough people realize or give him enough credit for, but he took that Mississippi College that really wasn't at that very good of a team to number one in the nation for a 1 week or two. In the hardest college conference in college football. And I think Mike McCarthy is going to take him and do some exceptional things this year. And he's going to go on to be a wonderful quarterback, get paid, and probably go somewhere else. That's all I got, bub. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens after this season. I would bet on Dak Prescott having a very good season simply because Dak Prescott has had a very good career. You know, there's no reason, other than it being in his head, there's no reason to think he would experience a downturn all of a sudden. I mean, the guy is his track record speaks for itself. And I think that's where maybe people have trouble because, you know, I say he's at the top of tier two. Like, if you're putting the quarterbacks in tiers, there's tier one, which would have like Patrick Mahomes and then a gap and then Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson and guys like that. And then there's tier two, which has Dak near the top of it. And, you know, I think because we're in this, we get in these modes where either something is awesome or it's trash, it's fire or it's garbage. You know, there is a lot of in-between area. And to me, you know, Dak Prescott is very good. He's not amazing. He's not the best quarterback I've ever seen. He's not the best quarterback in the league, but he's very good. And I don't know why that's, so hard to process or receive for people. How about James in Virginia? James, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, so you said that it's going to be difficult for you to find people that are going to agree with you, but I do agree. I think that Dak Prescott's very good, not transcendent, not great. But let me take a bit of a moneyball approach in terms of why it's difficult for Dak to reach a contract agreement. A lot of the Cowboys' success as a team sport is because he has that offensive line, because he has a lot of these pieces around him. And it's going to be very difficult for the Cowboys organization as a team to go from paying a guy a couple hundred thousand dollars a year to him now taking up 15% of their salary cap. And if you take a look at teams like the Rams with Jared Goff and, you know, the Seahawks with Russell Wilson, it's difficult once you pay that guy off of his rookie deal to have a team around him that can be successful. Wanted to get your thoughts on kind of that angle around it.
Oh, I think that's true, right? I mean, like, that's part of the context of the conversation, right? And I said before, why reaching a contract is a little bit more difficult. As far as, you know, the quarterback at the same time is the hardest position to find, right? And that's why you see these guys getting paid. But clearly, look, Dallas has, in a way, been lucky, right? Because of where they found Romo and then where they drafted Prescott. So they probably got way more years out of a starting franchise, whatever kind of, you know, word you want to use to describe quarterback, on a cheap salary than most teams do, and they probably didn't take full advantage of it. But yes, you're correct. I mean, when you then pay Dak Prescott what you're paying him and commit to that against the cap for a long period of time, that does impact the rest of the team. However, it did seem like their argument came down to the years. So at that point, that's when it becomes like a negotiation thing and a bit of more of a petty thing rather than a merit or a strategic thing. Because if you're willing to give him 4 years at that number and he wants 5 years at that number and you can't reach that agreement, is that really the difference in your cap or not, or your team construction or not? And I appreciate the call. But yes, you're correct. That is part of the context of the conversation, regardless of Dak Prescott's ability, where he fits in within the, you know, the team building aspect of it. And that's why a franchise tag can be fortuitous to the team, because they're not committed to it beyond the season. I mean, but there's a way for Dak Prescott to take advantage of it as well. I mean, Kirk Cousins took advantage of it. He had to go to a different team, but he wound up getting paid and getting that franchise tag money in the meantime. So Dak could, I mean, theoretically, Dak could go franchise tag to franchise tag year after year and get paid that way, or he can get the whatever 30-something million it is he's owed this year and then sign a long-term contract, and it all might wind up working out better for Dak Prescott in the long run. But, you know, in the short term, it just feels like throughout this whole process, no one seems to be able to, like, you know, come to a consensus on where Dak Prescott is in the hierarchy of quarterbacks. Though I do think since they didn't reach a deal, public sentiment has sort of swayed against the Cowboys. Public sentiment has sort of gone the way of Dallas screwed up here, because, you know, quarterbacks don't grow on trees, if you will.
With a week's worth of talking points, here's Robin Lundberg.
Hey, I'm Robin Lundberg, and I'm here with you on CBS Sports Radio, talking the situation with Dak and the Cowboys now. Look, I mean, it's a little anticlimactic, I guess, because it's not like this has ruined their franchise yet, or you know, they let him go and he's winding up, you know, as a free agent somewhere else. He's going to be playing for them next year. He will be suiting up. He will be under center. He will be the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. We will see what happens after that. But we're now, you know, projecting a year into the future. What I find most interesting about it is that no one ever seemed to be able to come to an agreement on the quality of Dak Prescott as a quarterback. I would describe him as very good, a Super Bowl-worthy kind of guy that could win a Super Bowl for you. Not a guy who's going to win it by himself, though. Not a guy who's going to take you to the Super Bowl by himself, but it can be a part of a Super Bowl team as a starting quarterback, and that's okay. Like, he's not Patrick Mahomes, but no one is. 855-212-4227. Now, it does seem the prevailing notion out of this and the failure to get a contract has been mostly critical of Dallas here, mostly critical of how this unfolded from the Cowboys' perspective, because here's the problem they could be facing. Now, they've been fortunate to have Dak Prescott under his rookie deal and not taking up so much of the salary cap for a while. At the same time, they really stumbled on something, right? You know, give him credit for drafting Dak where they drafted him, but no one would have thought when they picked him that he would turn into the level of quarterback that he's become. So if down the line this spat and this contract situation causes him to leave, they would have essentially have struck oil and then plugged the hole, if you will. And that's the danger they're facing in this contract negotiation. Because I guess I just never see, like, if you were willing to pay him, how you would let it fall apart over 1 year. You know, if it was one thing, if you were willing to give him 2 years and he wanted six, there, that's a real difference. But if it's the difference between four or five and the money was already worked out, then it seems to me it's just ego that comes into play, and somebody doesn't want to lose a negotiation versus somebody else winning a negotiation. And that would be a mistake. Pride cometh before the fall, almost certainly. 855-212-4227. Let's go to Joe in Cleveland. Joe, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Joe?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I really thank you for asking me to call in and talk about Dak. I consider myself a number one Dak Prescott fan. Real quick, I've been following him since his days at Mississippi State, watch a lot of college football, sat there and said, you know, Mississippi State's never been number one. What is it about that? Okay, so you've got this quarterback, and he's a type A, and you saw that. So I followed him, and I'm like, wow. And so in the 2016 draft, I was all over social media talking about Dak being drafted. I'm in Cleveland. I wanted Dak to come to Cleveland. Everybody laughed at me. They said he wouldn't get drafted. So we see how Dak's career has started, okay, and what he did in his rookie year. Okay, so we know what he has. Here's the thing. And a lot of people aren't looking at this, but inside the Cowboys world, a lot of people talk about it, the fans especially. Last year was a team effort, okay? The big problem was the coach, Jason Garrett, and the relationship that Jerry Jones had with Jason Garrett, and that he wasn't willing to fire him easily. So, in essence, the team kind of had to tank, and that's kind of what they did. So I think the franchise tag works because they have to see what they get with Mike McCarthy.
Well, look, Mike McCarthy, I would hope, for Dallas' sake, is there for more than 1 year. You want to see the marriage between Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott, that's for sure. And appreciate the call. Of course, you want to see how that works out. The question is, you know, did you sour the relationship? And I as far as I understand it, this also makes it a little bit more difficult to then reach a long-term deal from a financial standpoint. There's nothing to say that he can't wind up on the Cowboys, though, definitively. There's nothing to say he can't play under the franchise tag multiple years. You never know how things could work out.
But he's giving no indication that he wants to leave Dallas. He's very active in the community. He's doing the right things. This is the perfect situation for him. The franchise tag, show me what you got with Mike McCarthy. Get us to the NFC Championship game, then we'll talk.
Though I don't know if Dak Prescott had anything to prove. He doesn't have anything to prove as far as I'm concerned. I'm surprised. When this all went down, I was almost certain that the Cowboys and Dak Prescott would come to an agreement, as nearly every team does with their starting quarterback, that level of quarterback.
There's a price to pay when you force a coach out. And the team collectively forced the coach out last year.
But Dak Prescott didn't force Jason Garrett out.
Team collectively underperformed. They didn't want to play for Jason Garrett.
Well, look, I mean, there's a lot of factors there. I don't know if it was they didn't want to play for him. They weren't as good as people thought. I don't know if there's one thing that you could say for sure there, and thank you for the call. I don't think there's one thing you could say for sure there, but it's not fair to put that on Dak Prescott. And I think that, to be honest, has been the biggest sort of narrative working against Dak Prescott, is the expectations the Cowboys had last season in particular. So people were talking about the Cowboys as a potential Super Bowl team going into last season. They go 8-8. They don't make the playoffs. That's a failure of a season. And therefore that's become the defining thing about Dak Prescott. What about the rest of his career? First of all, he kind of had his best season last year, despite that. And second of all, you know, that was the worst season he's presided over record-wise. You know, since taking over as a starter, 8-8's the worst record. So I'm not sure exactly how that falls on Dak Prescott. Let's go to Bill in Wisconsin. Bill, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Bill?
Good morning. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. So preface this with saying that I am definitely an avid sports fan, but in the light of everything that's going on, it kind of to hear that you have athletes across all sports, mostly baseball, you know, some of the top players making top money, saying that they're not going to play due to fears for this. And being somebody who works on the front lines of this pandemic, it kind of is really leaving a sour taste in my mouth, because I thought this maybe would hit the reset button as far as contract negotiations and stuff like that. Now, don't get me wrong, Patrick Mahomes is a generational talent, but in light of all this, where people are struggling for work, probably going to maybe never find work again, and we're signing $500 million contracts, stuff like that, and demanding that testing be done on a daily, and I'm not saying that it shouldn't be, but when the average person can't, in some cases, find testing, it really, to me, leads to the prima donna aspect of sports. And I hope it comes back more than anybody. And I know they need to be safe and protected because they are valuable. But it almost, to me, leads me to think that they're more valuable than anybody else. So I guess I'm just having a hard time. I'm struggling with this where they're arguing for what they feel is right when everybody else in the world is left fighting for scraps, if you even want to call it that. So I guess I don't know what your 2 cents on the way I think of it is. It might be completely off base, but I don't know. I have a very hard time with it where people's livelihoods are gone, but now we're arguing over millions and almost, you know, in some cases, billions of dollars.
Well, are you talking about the baseball thing still? I mean, what are you talking about specifically right now? You mean the Dak Prescott's contract negotiations?
Yes, because that falls in line with what Patrick Mahomes, he set the bar where it's at now, and we're arguing whether his value is worth that. And it's, you know, we're arguing in the point where, okay, maybe he should sign something now, or he should have, because the salary cap is going to change because they're making less revenue, where we don't even know if they're going to play yet. I personally think they will not, because, you know, people are testing positive in the NFL more and more. But on the other side of it, it's just sports in general. I've heard Mike Trout won't play because he's concerned of passing it on to his kids. Well, we all go to work every day. Like I said, I go to work every day with the possibility that could happen. I don't have the luxury and or the choice to say, you know what, I'm not going to go to work because of this.
Well, you know, you're not going to get paid if you don't go to work. Now, obviously, the pay scale is completely different. So let me try and unpack what I think you're saying here. Let's start with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, I'm almost sure that contract negotiation, not even, I'm positive that contract negotiation was well underway before the pandemic. And that's something he and his representatives have been talking to the Chiefs about a long time. And I really see no reason they would have to pause their negotiation. It's not like he was out there flaunting it in front of people. That's not Mahomes' MO. And I do think it's wise, like you said, to, if you can get stuff like that locked in now, now is the time to get it locked in. The baseball one I get. The baseball one I get, because in that sense, you are dealing with the baseball contract negotiation part I get. You are dealing with a pandemic where millions of people have lost their jobs. Hundreds of thousands of people have died. And for baseball's voice to sort of become about the arguing over the salary was off-putting at best. But I don't want to take that to people's individual decision on whether they want to play or not. That's their individual decision. You know, and I would respect that. Look, if they have safety concerns, if, you know, you brought up Mike Trout, he's got a baby on the way. If they're worried about that, I'm not going to criticize anybody for an individual decision they make. They're not telling you what to do. And then there's the NBA stuff, which is, a couple of guys had complained about some of the accommodations or the amenities, which rubbed people the wrong way. But I think overall, the NBA has handled this all the best as a sport, both from a strategic plan and from the players being on the same page as the league. So I don't want to take this toward individual decisions, because, again, that's people's right. I will respect anybody's individual decision. But I do hear you from the baseball standpoint when it comes to the salary negotiations, because not only was there the pandemic and people out of their livelihood, but you had what happened to George Floyd happened at that same time. And it seemed like the prominent voice from baseball was squabbling over millions of dollars.
I agree 100%. And I think you hit the nail on the head, but I still, do you think that's even something that's being thought of on any of the league's minds? It's not just the bringing it back, but, and I don't think it would make a blip on their radar, but of losing fan viewership because of these things. Like I said, the average person now, yes, we're looking for a distraction. We want to be entertained with something else, and that will bring the TV revenue. They're going to lose stuff by not having fans in the stands. But, I mean, you lost some with some of the things that went on with Colin Kaepernick. I don't agree with them not watching because of that, but in my mind now...
Well, we don't know if they did or not. A lot of people were loud about that. The NFL is still a monster when it comes to viewership. So I would argue that the NFL lost no fans because of that.
Okay.
Not say no as in like no one out there, but no
right.
Fans from an impact standpoint as a result of that.
True. And I guess we maybe won't see it. Maybe I'm just overthinking this way too much because, like I said, we want a distraction. But I just, in light of all this, where, like I said, you're going to have people who may never go back to work because their companies don't exist anymore. And now we're arguing or making news about a season that may or may not happen and revenue that may never come. And we're talking about millions and millions of dollars for athletes that, sorry for saying it, but it's somewhat a luxury. We don't need it. Life would go on without it. I would be upset without it for sure. But it just, to me, it's one of those things where in times that we're in now, I don't know, it makes me scratch my head a little bit. So
I know I understand what you're trying to say. Look, and thanks for the call. Let's not put the energy of people who are never going to go back to work in the air. I'm not going to put that energy out. Obviously, people are going through a lot of hardships. People's lives are going to change to some degree. But I'm going to put some more positive energy out in the air. If you guys are out there struggling, I sincerely hope that things turn around for you and that another door opens for you. But I'm not going to say people aren't going to work again as a blank statement. Maybe not at the job that they were at. Baseball, I'm still surprised that baseball was as tone deaf as it was and doesn't seem to care about how that came across. I am still surprised about that. I think the NBA is keenly aware of its messaging and branding. One from the messaging they want the players to be allowed to get across while they're playing. But then also, like, J.R. Smith was doing an Instagram the other day, and he got in trouble for it because he was sharing too much and speaking negatively about the accommodations. And I don't think the league wants that out there, both for their own brand's sake or from a perception standpoint. And then there just are the finances. Look, these leagues are returning for financial reasons, but there's a lot of trickle-down when it comes to that, whether it's players, team employees, advertisers, people in this business. There's a reason for that money. It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.